We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
West Virginia coach Randy Mazey visits with media via Zoom. That's coming up right after this.
West Virginia fans, stay up to date on all things Mountaineers at WVUSports.com. WVUSports.com has 24/7 access to all of your favorite Mountaineer teams. The site's modern design provides the same fan-friendly experience on a mobile phone as it does on a desktop computer. Watch videos, listen to podcasts, and read feature stories anytime, anyplace. WVUSports.com, the official home of the West Virginia Mountaineers.
Coach, good to see you. Thanks for joining us on our call. We're going to continue our Zoom call with WVU's head coaches. Coach, I know you've talked in the media a little bit about how the season ended, but there's some people on the call that maybe you haven't talked to. You're 11-5 after non-conference play, on the way to Texas Tech to start Big 12 play when the news came. Why don't you kind of give a recap of everything that transpired at that time?
Yeah, we were cooking pretty good. We had just beaten Liberty, shut them out. Doing really well in our midweek games again. You know, we had thrown a no-hitter the midweek game before that, shut out a good Liberty team. We're on our way to Texas Tech feeling pretty good about ourselves when the news of the virus came crashing down. And we almost were at the Pittsburgh airport when we decided to turn the bus around and come back in the interest of the health and the safety of the kids. And in the next 48 hours, you know, who knew what was going to happen? You know, we at first thought we were going to miss that series. And then it was we were going to miss this series and next week at Kansas. And then about a day later, they said, well, it's extended into the George Mason series, our first home weekend. So it just kept going and going and going, and we all know what happened after that. But just trying to deliver the message to the kids and be the go-between with the administration and the team, see the looks on their faces and the shock and the disbelief and the bewilderment. You know, it was a whirlwind there for about 48 to 72 hours.
All right, if anyone has questions for Coach, go ahead and raise your hand. And the first one we got is from Greg Hunter. Go ahead, Greg.
So, Coach, the typical question, what kind of contact have you had with your players? You know, what can you – you can't ask them to do anything, but what are they doing at this point in time?
You know, they're doing what we're all doing, trying to stay safe and stay at home and do their part not to spread this thing. You know, that was my first message to them. When this all hit, you know, I told them, I like to steal quotes from famous people and pass them on to people that need to hear them. And the first thing I told them when this all went down, I said, the number one philosophy you need to have is from the Boy Scouts of America. Be prepared, because this thing is coming in full force to West Virginia. It may not get here as soon as it gets to other places, but it's coming. So we need to find a way to prepare for it and do your part with personal hygiene and staying away from people and listening to what everybody says. And the second quote I told them was one of my own. In my 14 rules to live by, number 7 is never panic. Panic never helps you, and things are going to get pretty bad here for a little while, but as long as you stay calm, every problem has a solution if you just try and find it, and this one will as well. And the third quote I told them, I stole from Abraham Lincoln, I think, this too shall pass. And you just got to ride out the storm here and do your part while it's here, and try your best to stay safe and stay healthy and keep your family healthy, and it will pass. We don't know how long it's going to take. It could be weeks, months, or a year, but at some point it's going to pass. And when it does, we need to look back and make sure we have learned something from it, which I believe we all have.
All right, your next question comes from John Antonik. Go ahead, John.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I was going to ask you, Coach, I noticed your COVID-19 beard is coming in nice. Does that stay until the quarantine lifts? And then what have you been doing to keep yourself occupied?
Well, you know, everybody tells me that I've got this salt and pepper look going on. But as I look at my beard in the mirror here, it's way more salt than it is pepper. But I think that's the Sean Connery distinguished look, is what I keep telling myself anyhow. But, you know, as I've told our team and I've told my assistant coaches my whole career, you know, I reflect back. Some of you old dudes on this call have seen the movie City Slickers. And when Curly was talking to Billy Crystal and he put his finger up and he said, this is the secret to life. And Billy Crystal said, well, what is it? He said, well, that's up to you to figure it out. And I feel like about 13 years ago, I figured out the secret to life is to have balance in your life and not get too obsessed with any one part of your life. Because if you do, if you're obsessed with your job, then everything else in your life is going to suffer because of it. If you're obsessed with one person in your life, different aspects of your life are going to suffer because of it. You need to have balance in your life. And I try and tell our coaches and players that all the time. And now is a perfect example. If you don't have balance in your life right now, when a lot of our jobs have been taken away from us and what we do every day, you'll go crazy, you know, staring at the walls and wondering what to do. But I think I got it figured out because I have balance in my life. I love my family. I'm a family guy. I get to spend every day with my wife and kids now and do projects around the house that I like doing. We're outdoors people, so we get out and hike and walk the dogs and fish. And heck, this morning I got up at 5 o'clock and went and sat in the woods and watched the sun come up listening for turkeys to gobble. So I'm having it's only 11 o'clock, but I'm having a great day so far. You know, my kids are upstairs doing their schoolwork. I've got that balance in my life, and I hate to think that people are going through a tough time and not taking advantage of the opportunities in front of them, if they have them, to spend time with their families, because this is a great time to do it. I've been in college baseball now for over 30 years, and this is the first time I've got to spend an Easter Sunday from start to finish with them. And the month of March and April, get to do things with my wife and kids. So I'm gonna take full advantage of it, because you never know when it's going to happen again.
Next question is from Kevin Kinder. Go ahead, Kevin.
Coach, I know that you've been a proponent of moving baseball later in the year, the whole season. With the potential, that sports might shuffle around in this year, is this kind of a time to, I don't know necessarily push it, but maybe people might see the value in your proposal?
I hope so. I haven't pushed it because I think number one on everybody's agenda right now is the health and safety of people. So I don't think this is any kind of time to push an agenda. But I have, when all this came down, we got turned around on a Thursday on our way to Lubbock when the bus got turned around. By Thursday night, I had a Big 12 schedule printed up, pencil and paper. I went through all the Big 12 teams and did a mock schedule starting on June 1st and ran through June and July and did all that and made it work. If somebody in all the conferences and meetings they had, if somebody ever entertained that thought, then I was just here to show them that it was possible. I wasn't pushing it by any means, but it would have been possible. And then when it got pushed back even further, I did another mock schedule that started in August, and I got all the Big 12 teams' football schedules and did two different baseball schedules, one in which no team would play a series at home during a home football weekend, and that was possible if anybody entertained that thought. But I also did one where you could play a home baseball weekend during a home football game. And I just thought that, if we played Oklahoma in football on a Saturday and everybody's in town, and we hosted Texas in baseball that weekend and played a single game Friday night, potentially a doubleheader on Sunday, I think every home game that we would have played would have looked like the regional that we hosted as far as crowds, because normally the biggest crowd of our spring is the day of the spring football game. So when people come to town, 40, 50,000 people come to town to see a football game, and a lot of them get here on Friday night. What better way to spend a Friday night than going to see a Big 12 baseball game? So, again, I wasn't pushing it, but just wanted to show people that if they wanted to go that route, that it was possible. But at this point, it's water under the bridge, because nobody decided that they wanted to go that route. But to answer your question, I guess, in a roundabout way, when all this is over and it does pass and we do have a sense of normalcy again, I definitely think we need to revisit it.
Okay, next question is from John. Go ahead, John.
I'm on a roll. You mentioned when it does pass. You're in kind of a unique position because, they did allow the seniors to have another year, and roster-wise, you're dealing with more people than, say, I guess Sean Cleary, who told us he's dealing with three people that could possibly go back. Have you started to think about how you're going to work your roster with those guys that are going to come back, with the guys that you're bringing in?
Your question was, have we started to think about it? That's all we think about, because we've been, as baseball coaches with the draft and not knowing what your team looks like, we're in the business of managing rosters. So, yeah, as soon as it all went down and they said seniors could come back, then we have our coaches' meetings and get together and figure out how we're going to pull it off, I think the decision that was made by the committee to allow the seniors to come back and everybody to have their year back was good for the seniors. It presents a lot of challenges. And some of the challenges are, you know, they're overlooking the roster limit this year and the scholarships this year and everything this year. But for a lot of people, this year is not the issue. It's moving forward. Because I think we had, I don't know, 12 to 14 freshmen on the team this year. And 12 to 14 incoming freshmen. And to give the current freshmen their year back and for them to be freshmen again, this coming year we're going to have a freshman class of over 25 people. And that's fine when you don't have a roster limit. But when they say the roster limit is only good for 1 year, and next year we're back to a 35-man roster limit, and we'll have 25 to 30 sophomores in one class on the team on a 35-man roster limit, that can't work. So I know what they were trying to do by letting the seniors come back, but they really need to address baseball moving forward. And the most encouraging thing about the decision that was made was that they did say that since baseball, college baseball, is a unique entity, we're going to have to take a more in-depth look at college baseball. I've been waiting 35 years for that to happen, for somebody to take a look at college baseball and look at our challenges that we have that other people don't. We're the only roster limit team out there. We're the only team that has a professional draft that takes your kids. You know, in a normal year, we lose 20% of our incoming class, 20% of our current team. You know, we don't know what our team's going to look like from year to year. So I can't wait for the day when people get together and take a look at what's best for college baseball moving forward, because since I've been involved in college baseball the last 30 years, it's been no, 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 cut, cut, cut. You know, we cut scholarships from 13 to 11.7. We cut games. We limited the number of kids you can be on scholarship. We have roster limits. We tried to get a third assistant coach that didn't pass. It's every answer that we've ever tried to get has been no in college baseball. So hopefully one day that people will get together and you know, logic will prevail. It's crazy to me. You guys know what my proposal is about playing in the summertime. The only way we're ever going to get anywhere is to generate revenue in our sport. And we don't do it. We just don't do it. And we just refuse to go anywhere.
All right, next question comes from Greg Hunter. Go ahead, Greg.
So Randy, what kind of issues do you have in terms of recruiting now, especially start looking at class of 2021? I mean, you normally would go out this time in the summer, be able to evaluate in person. Odds are you won't be able to do that. So how do you recruit for the future?
Well, that's one of the other challenges. You know, the 2021 class has already been filled. That was filled before all this hit. We're signing classes 2 and 3 years ahead of time now, so to only have a roster limit for 1 year and continue to have five classes into 4 years just isn't going to work. So, there has to be something done. But my guys do a great job out on the road of signing kids and getting ahead of the curve. So missing this time isn't going to hurt us. Because nobody's out there recruiting right now. We're hammering the phones and doing what we can do, and talking to kids. But we were in great shape recruiting wise going into it. But again, that 21 recruiting class was to replace the junior class that was going to leave, that isn't leaving now, or so we think, because of all the new draft rules that we think are going to be in place and we think kids are going to sign. I saw somewhere if the major league draft cuts down to 5 rounds like they're talking about, there were, I think, almost 500 kids drafted last year in rounds 6 through 40 that were either college juniors or high school seniors or incoming junior college kids, that in the past, those kids had a great chance of signing pro, but now they're going to be on our team, which is a good thing for college baseball, but just adds to the roster limit issues that are probably going to be in place, you know, next year at 35 again.
All right, next question comes from Alex Hickey. Alex, go ahead.
Coach, you just touched on the revenue issues, being able to generate it. What's your level of concern, or what's the level of concern with other coaches across the sport? As we've seen some colleges start to cut some sports with their revenue shortages, just about the health of baseball as a whole in college.
I mean, I think baseball is probably, I don't know, as strong as it's ever been, maybe. I don't know, but there's just so much left on the table, you know, and I think as a whole, college baseball, I think we have, I heard a coach say last week that there's 150 college baseball programs out there that aren't even fully funded scholarship-wise by their schools. So I think it's college baseball is as good as it's ever been, but when half the teams in the country don't even fully allot their baseball program or scholarships, then that says in itself that we've got a long way to go. We either need to everybody get together and move forward or separate and move forward.
All right, next question, Kevin Kinder. Kevin, go ahead.
But you have three seniors on this year's roster. Any final have they made any final decisions yet? Do you know what their plan is for next year?
No, you know, they all another thing I try and teach my kids is not ever to make decisions before you have to make them. And until we know what's going to happen, there's no use them deciding. They all want to come back, and they're all excited to come back. But they're all potentially guys that could sign free agent contracts if things fall into place, or they could come back and be contributors to our team. So who knows what the future's going to hold, but they're in a waiting game just like everybody else and trying to stay in shape and do the best they can and just wait to see what happens. But love to have all three of them back. They were all three having really good years for us.
Next question from Derek Redd. Derek, go ahead.
Hey, Coach. This is kind of an off-the-beaten-path question, but you guys are kind of tangentially connected to it. With the talk about contracting minor league ball teams, and three of the four teams in West Virginia are on the chopping block, Morgantown is really the only one that's safe at this point. What do you think that's going to do to professional baseball as a whole, but not only that, but like guys like yours now and in the future that are these guys who could be lower round draft picks, but there are fewer teams now where they can go. And now and their opportunities and these opportunities might be gone from them, even though there are a lot of low-round guys who do make major league rosters.
When you say a lot, that's really a relative term. And I tend to say that there are very few because I've done the research, and a high school kid is drafted in the 27th round. The chances of that kid making the major leagues is really, really slim. You know, there's exceptions to the rule, of course, but I think Major League Baseball did what was right, and, you know, 95 to 100% of those high school kids that signed beyond the 20th round aren't going to see the big leagues and aren't going to use the college tuition money and aren't going to have a college degree. So I'm excited to see them do that, because that will make college baseball better, and it's what's right for the kids, because kids get caught up in chasing their dream and make decisions with their heart instead of their head, and forego a good opportunity to play college baseball to try and sign a minor league contract out of high school when they have literally no idea what they're getting into, and their chances of failure are almost 100%. So I'm glad. I don't know if Major League Baseball had that in mind when they talk like that, but I think the result of that is going to be better, way better for a lot of kids.
Just a reminder, if you have the question, or if you have a question, use the raise hand feature in participants. Next up, John Antonik.
When is the draft? I know is usually in June. Have you got a firm idea of when they're going to have it? Is it going to be pushed back? You know, I've heard, what, 5 rounds? It could be paired. Well, unknowns. What do you know right now? Anything?
I know nothing. I know what you know. Know what I read. You know, it may go off on schedule, and it may get pushed back. Maybe 5 rounds. Maybe 10 rounds. Next year, maybe 20 rounds. Don't know. It's, you know, back in the day, in 1984, when I was drafted out of high school, we didn't have computers back then. I found out I was drafted by the Orioles when they called me on my house phone and told me that they drafted me. So, you know, who knows how or when it's going to happen, or if it's going to be virtual or via the computer. I love Zoom. You guys know that. I'm having a big time right now getting to know all this technology. So now that we've got it, we might as well take advantage.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, but that's just another unknown that adds to you, because, again, you're constantly trying to massage your roster and figure it out. And, again, it's another unknown for you, right?
Yeah, we had signed a recruiting class based on Czar being gone and Brophy being gone and Meadows being gone and seniors being gone. And, you know, we've got a bunch of juniors, Jackson Wolf, Tyler Jones, Paul McIntosh. You know, we have to project whether they're going to be gone or not. So you can't get caught holding the bag if you think they're coming back and they actually leave and you didn't sign anybody to replace them. So now we've got two or three incoming freshmen that were slotted in that 6th to 10th round area. So we're going to have 5 guys on our team probably that weren't going to be on our team if the draft was the same. So that creates a little bit of a roster management issue, but at the same time, you got 5 really good players back that you hadn't counted on. So we'll deal with it. Baseball coaches always do. So we'll find a way to do it again.
If you have any more questions, go ahead and use the raise hand feature. Coach, what do you tell those 3 guys? Obviously, 3 guys who have been through a lot. The seniors, Czar, Brophy, and Dylan Meadows.
I just told them to. Like I said, don't make any decisions before you have to. Let's just kind of see how this plays out. Don't make a decision based on emotion. You know, at first they were upset at the way things went down, and then they get really excited when they see the ruling. Now you got to try and figure out what kind of scholarship they're going to be on if they come back. And so there's a lot that has to be ironed out before anything can happen. And you know, the other thing with giving everybody a year back, you know, we've got the graduate transfer rule where kids who have graduated can transfer anywhere they want without penalty. Now we're going to have a lot of juniors in that boat. They're going to be graduating. So it could be a transfer free-for-all at some point, which is another side effect of what's happening here. So. Some kids may be able to transfer now with 2 years of eligibility remaining as graduate students. So just one more thing that college baseball is going to have to get serious about addressing moving forward.
And that was West Virginia coach Randy Mazey. Thanks for listening.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.